Road to Happiness, Chapter 2. Regrets. My grandmother, who was a quiet and well-mannered lady of distinction, was a person of few words until you decided to reveal to her how bad your life was. She would be very practical when it came to dealing with problems, and this confused most people because she offered no sympathy, but instead would take the offensive. I remember one of the ways she would always engage another person on personal issues she knew was being handled incorrectly. She would begin her assault with the following statement: "You are so focused on your emotions and feeling sorry for yourself that you cannot focus on the real issue that is causing the problem. And the real issue is you." Now, the best example of how my grandmother's words would apply to most people is for me to use the following example. If you need to make a decision, then make the decision and move on with life. Most people, however, become indecisive by overanalyzing the issues and paralysis sets in. Then, as a result of the paralysis, they fail to make any decision. This is the starting point for what my grandmother called the I wish syndrome, and she began her lecture on life by using words similar to the following: "We were given the gift of life free of charge, and it's our job to learn how to use it. But remember, life will not always be fun and games. Life is about putting one foot in front of another and moving ahead. And for those who hesitate, they will quickly become lost in the problems of the day. Then to justify their inactions, they will begin to blame others for the problems they face as a result of their complacency. This is the beginning of a life full of regrets, and for those who find themselves in this dilemma, they will almost always find themselves saying, 'I wish I had been more decisive. I wish I had not ignored my responsibilities. I wish I could start over.'" And as we all know, this list of I wishes could go on and on. So, the I wish syndrome is simply just another way of saying I regret not making a decision. Why do we allow ourselves to get caught in this trap is a mystery, but I suspect it is probably because this is the easy way out and the path of least resistance. Those of us caught in the trap, what I call the paralysis of analysis syndrome, we'll continually use the word regret, but do you, or we, as a society, understand the damage that is done to a person's self-esteem and to the others around them by continually playing the regret game? How many drug, alcohol, or food dependencies are caused by people playing the victim as a result of an indecisive past or regretful experience? Let's take a look at how this word is defined in our dictionary. Regret as a verb means to feel sorrow or remorse. Regret as a noun means a sense of loss, disappointment, or dissatisfaction. A feeling of sorrow or remorse for a fault, act, loss, or disappointment. So why is this word so important to us humans? It is because we are emotional beings and we have been given the ability to rationalize our existence in an effort to find balance in our life. This is a good thing until we rationalize our misfortunes in life as beyond our control, and then, because of our unwillingness to correct the cause of the misfortune, and 99% of the time you can make a correction, we will relive those misfortunes on a daily basis, not understanding the damage that we are doing to ourselves. Remember my grandmother's words. They are just as applicable today as they were 50 years ago. Don't make yourself a victim. Take action. If your regrets in life are from the loss of a loved one, then stop. Consider, please, if this is what you think your loved one would have wished for you. Turn the page and celebrate their life, or their presence in your life will have had no value. Life is for the living. Your life must go on after the loss of a loved one. Don't make yourself a victim. Take action. We all regret the loss of a loved one or a friend, and it should be this way. I have lost both of my brothers, my mother, and my father. It would be easy for me to say that I wish my brothers, mother, and father were still on this earth so I could call them, touch them, or ask their advice. but this would be counterproductive to my health and welfare, as well as for the health and welfare of my family. The family I came from is no more, and I am saddened by their loss. However, I choose to celebrate their contributions to my life and the lives of others, and I know their spirit will always be with me. Life must go on. So I don't play the victim game, and I focus on the positive things that were given to me by my loved ones. No guilt, no remorse, and I will not make myself a victim because I am the lone survivor of my clan. My life goes on. The guilt complex, or self-pity, that I alluded to in the previous paragraph, is something some of us deal with on a daily basis, and is not always brought on by the death of a loved one. However, there is no purpose served by dwelling on your regrets, and a guilty conscience is counterproductive to your health and welfare, as well as harmful to friends and family. You must turn the page, acknowledge your loss, acknowledge your mistakes, learn from your mistakes, and move forward. That which we must also consider in this discussion is that you cannot allow someone else to put you at a disadvantage by making you a victim. How is this done, you might ask? The most likely scenario is when you're constantly reminded by another person who is close to you of the things you may have done wrong in the recent past, and as a result of your actions, you are responsible, in their eyes, for all that is wrong in their life. Don't let someone else make you a victim in order to justify their own victim complex. Take action. The wishing game, as described by my grandmother, is a byproduct of our inactions. We know this. However, it was my grandfather, an ordained minister, who understood life both from the spiritual and practical side, and he approached this subject in a different way. Whenever I would use the phrase, "I wish," he would always turn to me and say, "Son, I want you to hold out your two hands for me." Of course, I would comply, and then he would say, "I want you to begin putting all of your wishes in your left hand, and then I want you to start spitting in the right hand, and you tell me which one fills up first." Not exactly a politically correct analogy in our day and time, but a very effective analogy just the same. Don't play the wishing game, don't make yourself a victim, and turn the page on regrets. Take action. So how many times have you used the phrase, "I wish"? Here's what I think are the top 10. Number 1, I wish I was never born. Number 2, I wish I had been born to a different family with more advantages. Number 3, I wish I could go to sleep, wake up, and everything would be back to normal. 4, I wish I had enough money to start my own business. 5, I wish I could lose weight so everyone would like me. 6, I wish I could find that special someone. 7, I wish I would have waited to get married. 8, I wish I would have waited to get pregnant. 9, I wish I had $1,000,000. Number 10, I wish I were dead. The list could go on forever, but why? It's not necessary to make yourself a victim of your own inactions. There's no value in beating up on yourself because society will do that for you should you let them. You deserve better. Don't play the wishing game. Don't make yourself a victim. And turn the page on regrets. Life goes on. Life is for the living. Take action. Life is a precarious game, and to keep the equation of good and bad balanced in your life, you must maintain a positive frame of mind. You cannot make yourself a victim, and you must be your best friend. If you don't know how to be your best friend, then I would suggest to you that you cannot be a friend to others. Be a friend to yourself first. So let's talk about friends. Real friends. I am my best friend, and my job is to know what I want from life for myself. If I don't know what I want, where I want to go, or how I'm going to get there, then how can I possibly know what to look for in a friend? There has to be some basis of commonality between friends if the friendship is to last. If you are looking for someone, a friend, who is sympathetic to your problems, then they will never be a friend, but only a sounding board that always agrees with you and will only acknowledge and reinforce the negative side of your life in a way that simply reinforces all the things you need to change. If you are looking for someone who is exactly like you, then how will you know when you're wrong? Remember, you must know who you are, what you want from life, and be confident in your course of action on a day-to-day basis. If not, you will never be successful with friends or a partner for life. You must take care of yourself first. Then you can take care of those who are depending on you. Be honest with yourself. Be a friend to yourself first, and people will want you to be a part of their life as a friend. Remember, don't play games with your life. Take charge of your day-to-day actions, and don't make yourself a victim, playing the victim. The door to the past is one way. Those things that have occurred in your past that perhaps did not turn out the way you would have liked, or events that had an unhappy ending because of a bad decision, cannot be changed. The memories from the past can come forward in your life, but that one-way door will not allow you to go back and change things. Turn the page on regretful memories and begin a new chapter each and every day. Taking action is your best friend. I want to give you some food for thought from a group of people who I would consider to be experts in the field of regrets. These experts had the following to say when asked what they regret not doing differently in their lives. Here are the top three on their list. I wish I would have had the courage to live a life true to myself and not the life that others expected of me. I wish I had had the courage to express my feelings. I wish that I had let myself be happier. I could elaborate on specifics of each of these items, but I would like you to take the time to focus on how each of these may fit your personal situation and what words you would use to explain the meaning of each comment. I think that the only thing that is important for me to say is that these words were spoken by people who knew their life was about to end. Some had only weeks, and some only a few days. When you're facing death, the clutter of everyday life vanishes, and that which is profoundly important suddenly becomes obvious. People can often be blinded by the light of these simple truths, and that which saddens me is that this occurs at the end of a person's life, when change is not an option. Build a foundation in your life that will eliminate regrets, and this will allow you to enjoy the important things that make life worth living. Don't wait until you're facing death to deal with your reality. Step into the light today. A few final thoughts, borrowed from the minds of others who have traveled the bumpy road of life and found happiness, success, and peace of mind. Be gentle with yourself. You're a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Pay no attention to what others say, what they think, what they do. Let your free spirit take you where you will. And when it falters, let your soul demand that you not give up, but only aspire to climb higher and higher. As you soar into the heights, never forget the others or look down upon them. Remember, you were once there and needed help, understanding, and love. Direct your free spirit to helping your fellow man, and you will know heaven on earth. Never believe your own press, nor take your accolades too seriously. It matters not what you did yesterday, only what you do today and tomorrow that is meaningful to your freedom and spirit. Challenge and perfection is the greatest gift of life. Embrace it and use it well. To turn your back on the challenge of perfection is to close the door on your spirit, your freedom, your very existence. It is not easy to be the best. You must have the courage to bear pain, disappointment, and heartbreak. Our dedication must help lift the others up when they are down. You must learn how to face danger and understand fear, yet not be afraid. You must establish your goal, and no matter what deters you along the way, In your every waking moment, you must say to yourself, I can do it. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive Him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul, with all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams. It is still a beautiful world. Life is about a solid foundation, and action is a primary building block.